Facing Bias in Education. Eileen Pollack grew up in Liberty, New York, where she encountered obstacles in pursuing her interest in math and science. Despite her talent, she was denied entry into advanced classes because, as her principal bluntly put it, girls never go on in science and math. This biased attitude didn't sit well with her, especially considering her passion for these subjects. Her journey through school wasn't without challenges. In third grade, she found herself ahead of her peers in math, but was told to hold back and not read ahead. However, she and two male classmates who shared her enthusiasm for math managed to convince their teacher to let them work on more advanced topics while the rest of the class caught up. Yet, even when she excelled, she faced discrimination. Teasing her male peers about their math skills landed her in the principal's office, where she was subjected to unfair testing. Despite demonstrating her abilities, she was told she wasn't mature or well-socialized enough to skip a grade, while her male counterpart faced no such criticism. This experience left Pollack feeling resentful and aware of the double standards she faced simply because of her gender. It was a clear example of bias in education that she was determined to challenge. Pollack's journey to success. During junior high, Pollack faced hurdles because her principal thought girls couldn't handle math and science. When parents' night rolled around, she asked her mom to speak up to the principal and the math department head. She never thought of standing up for herself. She was more of a go-by-the-rules type. High school was different. Her biology teacher stayed late to teach her how to handle petri dishes and record data. Her chemistry teacher even promised a fancy dinner at a local restaurant for anyone taking the big Regents exam. Guess who won? Yep, Pollack did. She ended up being the top student in her class, taking her AP courses in calculus, chemistry, and biology. Overcoming challenges when touring Yale. When Pollack joined Yale, it had just started admitting women. She faced a tough first semester, tackling subjects like advanced physical chemistry, calculus, physics, economics, and literature. The physics course was especially daunting. The textbook was massive, and the equations seemed like Greek to her. She struggled alone, unaware that other students often worked together. After a dismal 32 out of 100 on her physics midterm, Pollack was ready to drop the class. But her professor, who once struggled himself, encouraged her to try Richard Feynman's lectures. With determination, she started grasping abstract concepts like quantum mechanics. Despite the rocky start, she ended up with a B and even scored an A the next semester. Pollack's journey through college. Pollack turned to tennis to deal with stress, but dropped it when her workload became overwhelming. Just as she was settling into college life, she got a surprise from the registrar's office. She could graduate a year early if she took on more classes. Excited by the opportunity, she piled on courses like linear algebra, statistical thermodynamics, and even German literature. Despite facing subjects she hadn't tackled before, like physics and quantum mechanics, she dove right in. In her quantum mechanics class with Professor Nemethy, while some classmates grumbled about tough tests, Pollack relished the challenge. She wasn't afraid to ask questions, even if it meant slowing down the class. Yet, her confidence was shaken by her past struggles and the lack of female role models in her field. Yale lacked female professors in physics and math, and the sparse representation of women among Nobel physics laureates in her textbooks only reinforced the feeling of being an outsider. But despite the odds, Pollack persisted, determined to carve her own path in the world of science. An unexpected turn. During lunch, Nemethy asked Pollack what she liked besides physics. She mentioned tennis and writing stories. He offered to recommend her for a creative writing class, wanting to spice up her academic journey. Intrigued, Pollack signed up for a nonfiction writing seminar after seeing a poster. Professor Martin Goldman, delighted to have a physics major in his class, encouraged her to promote a dialogue between the two cultures. After a few weeks, Goldman shared one of Pollack's assignments with the class, sparking newfound recognition for her writing abilities. This acknowledgement surpassed anything she had received in her physics and math courses. Engaging in writing and feedback opened up a whole new realm for Pollock. She had been navigating physics alone, but now, as the term wrapped up, Goldman surprised her by applying for an advanced seminar in nonfiction writing to be taught by Pulitzer Prize winner John Hersey in the next term. Empower Women in Science. During her time at Yale, Pollock was asked by the Yale Daily News to investigate why so few women pursued math majors. She discovered that many women started at Yale with only an algebra background, while men had already covered calculus for 1 or 2 years. Recognizing this gap, Yale established the Office on the Education of Women, led by Connie Jersic. Together, Jersic and Pollock organized Yale's inaugural conference on women in science, sponsored by the National Science Foundation. Despite her ambition to pursue a physics PhD, Pollock faced setbacks during graduate admission exams. Feeling uncertain about her prospects at top-tier schools, she hesitated even to approach professors at renowned institutions like the University of California, Berkeley. The prospect of being the lone woman in a male-dominated field for many more years dampened her enthusiasm. Pollock grappled with finding a balance between her passion for science and her love for writing. She explored various paths, considering continuing her education, working in industry or government, or focusing on writing grant proposals and articles. Then, a wise professor suggested that her knack for writing could complement her understanding of physics. Encouraged by this insight, Pollock shifted her focus, completing her undergraduate degree and pursuing a Master of Fine Arts at the Iowa Writers' Workshop. Today, Pollock is a successful author and writing professor, demonstrating that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to a career in science or writing. Returning to Yale. After 32 years, Pollock revisited Yale to chat with current faculty, her old professors, and science students to see if things had changed for women in science and math. She was content with her life as a writer and teacher, but her return to Yale left her feeling like she fell short somehow. She'd always wanted to thank Michael Zeller for not letting her quit his class. Although he was now retired, he was pleased to hear from her and shared the good news that the current head of Yale's physics department was a woman. Unfortunately, she couldn't meet him again as he had a stroke shortly after. Peter Parker, who works at Yale's Wright Nuclear Structure Lab, is in charge of advising freshmen on which math and science courses to take based on their high school grades and scores. He mentioned to Pollock that half of the physics majors at Yale start with less intense courses. Surprisingly, by their third year, it's hard to tell which students had a strong background and which didn't. The tenured professors now teach the basic science classes to support struggling students. Yale also provides tutoring and promotes group study sessions. Challenges in science education. Returning to her hometown of Liberty, New York, after years away, Pollock was shocked by what she found. The town had become even poorer, with 70% of students relying on free or discounted lunches. Elementary school principal Jerry Finnegan revealed that science education was getting shortchanged, with just 30 minutes every other day devoted to the subject. Moreover, many teachers felt less confident teaching science compared to other subjects. Finnegan noted that both boys and girls were initially interested in science, but this interest often diverged in middle school, especially as science became more hands-on. At Liberty High School, Principal Jack Strassman faced his own battles against gender stereotypes passed down from parents. Finding qualified math and science teachers was a constant struggle. When a physics teacher retired, the school's female biology teacher stepped up, gaining certification to teach physics. This move not only addressed the shortage of science teachers, but also served as an inspiration for girls to pursue science subjects. Women in STEM, overcoming challenges. More women are choosing careers in science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM. But they still encounter obstacles. At Yale, only 30% to 40% of students majoring in physics or related fields are female. Even at events like the Physics and Astronomy Department picnic, women find themselves battling prejudice. For example, in a postdoc program, two men asked their female classmates to use their experiment report as a model. The women agreed as the men were conducting their own experiments with different data. However, when it came to grading, the men got an A while the women received a C for almost identical work. After confronting the professor, the women's grades were corrected. Gender disparities in math education. Back in 1980, boys in U.S. middle schools were dominating math SAT scores with a ratio of 13 to 1, compared to girls scoring 700 or above. But hey, scoring high on the math SAT doesn't guarantee advanced math skills. Fast forward to 2008. The American Mathematical Society noticed that the top performers in international math competitions were often boys, especially those with immigrant backgrounds. Interestingly, some other countries were doing more to support girls in math. Come 2010, American boys were still outperforming girls on the math SAT, but by a smaller margin, 3-1 this time. That same year, a report by the American Association of University Women report titled, "Why So Few? Women in Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics," pointed out that girls are just as capable as boys in math, contrary to popular belief. In the early school years, boys and girls perform equally well in math. However, as classes get tougher, girls face more pressure to prioritize their social status over math skills. Unlike boys who are encouraged to tackle difficult courses, societal expectations push girls away from advanced math and science. Peer pressure plays a big role, with girls more likely to give up and focus on being nice rather than competitive. Furthermore, girls tend to underestimate their abilities, while boys often overestimate theirs. This disparity isn't limited to gender. Minorities are also underrepresented in the fields of science and math. Study reveals gender bias in hiring. In 2012, Yale researcher Joe Handelsman uncovered some serious findings about gender bias in hiring practices across science fields. She conducted an experiment where she sent out identical resumes for a lab manager position, one with a male name, John, and one with a female name, Jennifer, to professors at 6 top research institutions. The resumes were exactly the same, only the names differed. Professors, both male and female, were asked to rate the applicants on various aspects like competence, likability, and whether they'd be willing to mentor them. Shockingly, despite identical qualifications, John consistently scored higher than Jennifer in all areas except likability. Even female professors showed the same bias as their male counterparts. The most glaring difference came in salary offers. On average, John was offered $30,238, while Jennifer was only offered $26,508, despite being equally qualified. This study highlights a disturbing trend of gender bias in academic hiring, which affects not only women but the scientific community as a whole. Key points. 1. Girls often face biased attitudes in math and science education, hindering their pursuit of these subjects. 2. Despite challenges, individuals like Eileen Pollack overcome bias to excel in STEM fields. 3. Efforts to empower women in science, such as mentorship programs and conferences, aim to address gender disparities. 4. Gender bias persists in hiring practices within STEM, impacting opportunities and salaries for women. 5. Addressing gender stereotypes and providing education support can help to create diversity and excellence in STEM fields.